Now, the Bible talks about a few reasons why someone would not be healed. The first is a lack of faith. In Mark 6, verses 5 to 6, Jesus was in his hometown, and this is what is recorded. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Sometimes people aren't healed because they don't have enough faith. They simply do not believe that Jesus can heal. Now, I think we need to be very careful about this one, because it can produce feelings of guilt and failure in a person where none should exist. You don't actually need to have a huge amount of faith for God to work. Jesus said that if our faith was the size of a tiny mustard seed, we could pray and see amazing things happen. The people in Jesus' hometown had no faith at all. They said, there's no way Jesus can heal. That may be you. But maybe you say, I believe Jesus can heal. I believe he can heal me. That's the faith that you need. That's enough faith to believe that that Jesus can heal. The second reason why we may not be healed is because of sin. In the James 5 passage, there is a close connection with seeking healing and confessing our sins. The psalmist writes, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Maybe you've been praying for healing, but you're also living in a way that embraces what Jesus forbids. Friends, your requests won't be heard by God. You need to turn away from your sins so that your pleas might be heard and answered. A third reason is selfish ambition. Again, in James it is written, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Early on in Jesus' ministry, Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. She was not doing well at all. And when they got there, Jesus went to her and took her by the hand and healed her. It's amazing. But then I love what she does. The first thing she does, she just gets up and she starts to serve. So I got strength in my body. I'm going to use this to serve God. And maybe you just wanted to be healed so you don't have to suffer anymore. I mean, no one likes suffering. Hey, Jesus, I need you to heal me because I hate this. You haven't given any thought to what you might do with the restored health that Jesus may give you. You want to use your healing for your own benefit. Everything we have comes from Jesus. Consequently, it's right that everything be given back to Jesus in humble and joyful surrender. Now, there's a final reason why we don't get healed, and that is the benefit of suffering. The benefit of suffering. Suffering can produce in our lives what nothing else can. It's like Buckley's. It tastes awful and it works. We need to have a strong theology of suffering. Just like we need to have a strong theology of healing. To have one without the other is to have an incomplete view of Jesus as our healer. Some people have a really strong theology of healing. And others have a really strong theology of suffering. But to have one without the other is not to have a clear view of Jesus. Again, let me touch on a few passages of Scripture that give us a strong theology of suffering. The first one is in that James passage we looked at earlier. The verses immediately preceding the ones on being prayed for by the elders say this: brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job was a man in the Old Testament who suffered terribly. He lost his health, he lost his family, he lost his finances. And he wasn't healed right away. He had to endure suffering. Now, I find it so interesting that these two passages are back to back in the Scriptures, in the book of James. On the one hand, those who persevere in suffering are blessed. On the other hand, if you're suffering, go to the elders to get healed. So which is it? Is it better to be healed from suffering? Or is it better to persevere in suffering? Does Jesus get more glory when we're healed or more glory when we persevere? Well, I have some strong thoughts on this. In fact, I wrote a book on this. Paul writes something very pertinent to this conversation in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. He had some kind of physical ailment, something that he called a thorn in his flesh. He didn't like it. He didn't want it. But here's what he wrote. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul understood that his weakness actually caused him to rely more on Jesus. I know that in my times of greatest struggle, it's easy to focus on Jesus. Every breath is a cry to God when I'm going through hard times. You know what this is like, where your mind is just so filled with the difficulty that you're facing in every breath. Oh, God, help. Every breath is a cry to God. Consequently, with my focus so intent on God, he has more room and freedom to work in and through me. I am actually closer to Jesus in my suffering. I feel closer to Jesus in my suffering than when everything is going well. His strength is more easily realized in me when I feel weak. A lot of time, we want to be healed so that we don't have to be so dependent. We don't want to be weak. We don't want to be needy. Our prayer is, Lord, make me so that I don't have to rely on you so much. Now, I'm fairly certain that Jesus is completely uninterested in answering that kind of prayer. He knows that when we're strong in ourselves, we will be weak overall. I've seen this all the time. But when we are weak in ourselves, then we can be at our strongest because we're so dependent on his strength. The third passage on suffering is found in the beginning of the book of James. It says this, consider it pure joy, my friends, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Jesus' goal for us is to carry the work he began in us on to completion. The only way for that to happen is through suffering. I wrote a whole chapter in this book. I called it, What Healing Can Never Accomplish. What Healing Can Never Accomplish. And I highlighted things like humility and empathy. I mean, if I get healed, I remember this with my kidney disease. I remember saying, yeah, if I get healed and someone else comes to me with kidney disease, and I pray for them, I don't know if I can guarantee they'll get healed, but it's like, well, this is what I got. Sucks to be you. I didn't have the empathy. But when you suffer along with somebody, you experience that empathy for when they suffer. We experience hope. We experience authenticity. We experience influence when we suffer. Now, these next two sentences I'm going to say, and they just sort of stand alone because I'm saying this is my personal belief, so you can argue with me on these a little bit more. I'm going to get back to, here's my personal belief on this. I believe it requires more faith to endure in the face of suffering than to be healed. That's just me. I believe it requires faith to be healed. I believe it requires more faith to endure in the face of suffering. I also believe that better work happens in our lives when we have to endure than if we're healed. All right, so those two are my statements I throw in there. You can chew on those. And you can disagree with me on that if you want, and that's totally cool. See, it is true. Healing brings glory to God, and it bolsters our faith. But I know that every healing will eventually end in death. Every healing has a shelf life. Every physical healing has a shelf life. Still, I will pray for healing. I will ask God to heal every sick person that asks me to pray for them. I don't know when God will choose to offer his gift of healing and when he won't. I don't know why he chooses to heal some and not heal others. My dad prayed for me a very simple prayer, "Oh God, heal my son," and I was healed. I prayed for my dad when he was suffering with asbestos cancer. Very simple prayer. "Oh God, heal my dad." He was only 62. He was ready and willing to use his whole life to bring glory to Jesus. Many prayed, many hoped, many believed, and then he died. I don't get it. But I do trust the one who does get it. He has a plan for everything. Though I don't understand why or what he's doing, I can trust him that he does. So I will pray for healing. I will also pray for endurance in the meantime. I will pray that Jesus' beautiful work might be done in your life while you suffer. Jesus himself suffered terribly. When he prayed to his Father for relief, the answer that came back was no. Not yet. He prayed, "Father, I know that all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And then he went to the cross. He suffered and he died. He went through the suffering. When I was so sick, I had many people praying for my healing. All kinds of people praying for my healing. Little godly old women praying for my healing. That stuff should work. And I prayed too. The elders anointed me with oil. And it was the only way out that I could see. I was convinced that Jesus had to heal me. I had so much faith. But he didn't. So then my prayers changed. And I said, "If you're not going to heal me, then let things get as bad as you want. Let me get as close to death as you want. But go with me through it all." And he answered that prayer. He was with me in my suffering. He never left me. Emmanuel, God with us, is my favorite name for Jesus. And I can guarantee that to you today. I can't guarantee that Jesus will heal you immediately. He may. And this is what we will ask for you. But I can guarantee that he will heal you one day. It's just a matter of time. And in the meantime, I will pray for all the endurance and joy and peace that you need while you suffer so that you can become mature and complete and not lack anything. And that your joy will be a witness to the incredible strength that Jesus can give. Now, one healing that I can absolutely guarantee is that Jesus will heal your spiritual sickness and death. I can guarantee this. If you ask him, he will cure this most critical of problems. And it has no shelf life. Spiritual healing, the spiritual sickness and death that we all are born with, that we all perpetuate with the sin in our lives, can be healed with no shelf life. If you trust in Jesus, you can be saved from eternal damnation and saved to eternal life with Jesus. Healing is what Jesus does because healing is who Jesus is. One day all our pain will be gone. One day Jesus will make everything right. So let us endure while we wait, asking for his gift of healing in faith and trusting whatever answer he gives us. Let us give him all the glory because he deserves it all. Amen. I want to close our time. Nope, I want to open up a new time of healing. open up a new time of healing with listening prayer. And I'm going to ask in a moment, the band's going to come back up here, and Dallas and the team, they're going to lead us in some singing. And I'm inviting elders and staff and spouses, if they want to come, we have to stand up here. We've got a couple seating areas on either side, or just come up to the front. If you would like to be anointed with oil, and there's nothing magical about this oil, okay? We take it, I put a little on my finger, elders will do this too, put a little on their finger, and we'll just mark your forehead, the sign of the cross, name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's nothing magical about the oil. It is a representation of the Spirit of Jesus on you. We're marking you with the Spirit of Christ who brings healing in his wings. And if that's something you would like, I would invite you just to come forward. Come on up here and pray. Well, like I said, there will be all kinds of opportunity. We're going to take 15 minutes or so to spend time doing that. So it's not a rush. But we invite you to come for healing, for relational healing, for physical healing, for emotional. Maybe you're struggling with depression, anxiety. Come for prayer for healing. So as we prepare for that, I just ask you to lay your requests out before our Lord Jesus, who loves you so much. Maybe you want to open your hands in this quiet time. Open your hands for him as a sign of surrender, as a sign of receptivity to what he wants to give you. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're here with us today. And we are desperate for you. We are in need of you. We need your Spirit in our life. We need that spiritual healing that you promised, bringing us from death to life. When we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, God, you made us alive in Christ. This is the miracle of healing that you bring, the most important healing. If there's anyone in the room here today or watching online who doesn't know of this eternal healing, then I pray they would receive you today in this moment. Receive that eternal healing in their souls. Lord, we also want to come to you with other requests. And so I pray, God, that even in this time of listening prayer, you would prepare our hearts for whatever you want to do in this next time of ministry, the next moments of ministry, of your Spirit ministering to us as your people. You know, in this quiet space before the Lord, whether you want healing or not, is there any sin that Jesus is pointing out to you that you need to confess to him? Don't feel like you got to go digging. Just ask the Spirit to reveal to you if there's anything in your life that is going to hurt you. You know, based on what we've talked about today, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Can you pray along with Jeremiah, who said, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Can you come to a place of pure and utter contentment where you will honor, thank, and serve Jesus whether he heals you or not? What does Jesus want to say to you about your hurts and suffering today? Lord, this is the part where we're going way out on that limb of faith that you invite us to come out to. Like Peter walking on the water. We cannot heal anybody. Only you can. And so, Jesus, we come to you, King of the universe, King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. As you came to as a baby, you really did. You really showed up. You really arrived. Lord, may you do that here today. Pray for each one. Pray, Lord, for all the faith that we need to trust in you. That you do miraculous works among us. Mm-hmm. That we'd be your witnesses. And we'd testify that you are the God who heals. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.